This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You guys, I'm so excited and I'm very humbled and very thankful because God is the King of all the earth and then He chose us first. That's the only reason we're here tonight and the only reason I get to share with you is because Jesus Christ died and then He rose. And only because He rose, we've got the option to be reconciled with the Father. So now we've got this relationship going, each one of us, with God. And then He uses one another. Tomorrow He's using you in my life. And, you know, today, me in your life. We encourage one another as we see the day approaching, the Word says. So for me, it's such a privilege that tonight it's my turn to encourage you and share with you some of the things that God has been doing in my life and speaking to me about. So let's quickly pray. God, I'm just so excited, Lord, and I just surrender and humble myself before You, God, and I just give every word and every thought to You and say, this is all about Your glory, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, lekker. Okay, you guys, hallelujah. Yes, so my heart is like bursting with testimonies and things that I want to teach and share, but I can't do that tonight. I have to just listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him and partner with Him because He knows what we need to hear tonight. I'm just, how I deal with that is I just shared it with you. So I'm a verbal processor, like you can see. So it'll be good if we get the first page. So you guys, oh my word, this is so interesting. So as a younger Christian, you know, after starting to do Bible school and going on missions and doing the encounter series, and you start being equipped by other disciples and teachers, how do you start understanding the word more than just like, you know, reading it? Amen. It's like, you know, I read some of, I don't understand, but I read. I know it's the right thing to do. Amen. Good night. You know, and then I joined the church and then I started, you know, being discipled and then God and the Spirit and teachers would break open the word. So I started to learn things and I started to learn a lot about, so God uses me to pray for people with regards to counseling and deliverance, for instance. So I start getting very excited about, oh, how does the things in the spirit work and the things in the world that our culture says it's part of culture, but it's actually like occultic or demonic or whatever. And then you like discern, okay, no, we mustn't do that. We must do this. This leads to death. This leads to life. So exciting, lekker. And then after a while, I found myself being so caught up with what is wrong and what is right. And Jesus was no longer on the throne of my heart. And that is where the first part of this message was born. Because there came a time in my life, and every now and again, I'll find myself there again, where I'm focusing on, but how do I tell people about Jesus? Where that becomes the thing that takes the most effort, the thing that sits on the throne of my heart. And anything that sits on the throne of your heart that is not Jesus is coming to steal from you. It's a distraction, because only if Jesus is Lord of your life, you are walking in that place of intimacy and reconciliation with the Father. So obviously God has called us to think about how can we reach out to people. I'm not saying we must do that, but when that replaces Jesus on the throne of your life, the enemy is like, yes, hopefully it will take a very long to realize that Jesus is not the number one thing that she, that the number one that she wants to get to know and wants to worship and glorify. So Holy Spirit, so faithful, every time in our lives when we go, Lord, I want to know You. Would You reveal something? If there's something in my heart that's just keeping me from knowing You, God will always expose that to you. So I don't want you to be nervous or fearful thinking, oh Lord, I was so excited about encounter and maybe it's an idol, I don't love You anymore. That's not what I'm saying at all. The encounter series, really the truth of God and the Spirit of God and the love of community, changed my life through the encounter series. So if you haven't done it, please be urgent about doing it, because like Satan doesn't want you to do it. So just be urgent about doing it. A little bit more about myself before I continue. So my name is Mariette, and I grew up in the countryside near Cape Town, and I'm just going to share one or two things. So something I want to share is I grew up struggling with a lot of rejection and worthlessness issues, hectically. And God came to save me and heal that completely. And I had depression. I was 4 years on medication, antidepressants, and I was on 3 times the dosage of when I started, when God healed me completely. I've had the privilege of praying for many people who God also healed, some of them over the phone. Once somebody played my testimony of God healing me from depression on a Christian radio station in Cape Town. No, in South Africa, because a girl from Vanderbijl Park, that area, phoned them, and she got my number, and she phoned me, and I was a young Christian at the time, and I said to her, okay, cool, I'm going to pray with you over the phone. So I prayed for her, for healing that God would do in her life, what he had done in mine. But also with that, I explained to her that God comes to heal and love us through the body also. And I said to her, you need to find a place where people will love you and love Jesus. Not a perfect place. That means you will never be able to slot into a church. Ha ha. And even if it's perfect, you won't be allowed in, because you and me, we ain't perfect. So you have to find a place where people bear fruit of knowing and following Jesus, and you have to slide into there, because the relationship with the Word and the Spirit and His body, that's the way we get our healing. For everything is through the relationship with Jesus, through His Word, His Spirit, which is His voice, and through being in His body, because He loves us and He comes to heal us through these broken people here that also comes to challenge us. She phoned me back a while later saying, hi, Mariet, and she said a name. She's like, you won't remember me. I'm like, no, I do. You're from Vanderbijl Park. And she said, she was diagnosed with bipolar depression, and apparently that's the one above depression. Not sure how that works exactly. And then she said, I'm completely healed. I slotted into an amazing church. Anyway, so praise Jesus. Yeah, so that was a testimony, and hopefully you now know more about me. So can I be against brokenness and against sin, and I can be against everything that is wrong? Like the Harry Potter movies, which is occultic, which introduces kids to the occult in an easy and a quick way. I can be against that. I can be against child abuse, against human trafficking, my whole life, against Satan. And by accident, never have preached the gospel to anybody. Never have prayed for somebody for healing. Never have encouraged somebody who's just really down. And by telling them what is wrong in their life is not going to encourage somebody. Sometimes when somebody's down, they need somebody to say, but I will love you right now, and I will stand with you. You're not alone. I'm going to pray with you. So there's a place where, yes, it's good as we grow in our knowledge of what is right and wrong. It's good. We have to grow, because if I don't know that fire is going to hurt me, how can I stay away from it far enough just to buy the choppy or the marshmallow? In my case, what tells you I like sugar? So there is a place for that. But what God has called us for on earth is not to be against Satan. He's called us to be for Jesus. And from that place, God will give us joy. He will give us wisdom. He will give us boldness in the moments of brokenness. So let's look at everything that I say, anybody ever will say here, any worship song that we sing. What do? We measure it against Scripture. Amen. That's good preaching. So let's go to Matthew 20. I learned that from John Bevere. If the crowd is quiet, he goes, amen, John, that's good preaching. I'll just encourage myself. And then I'm like, lekker, John. Lekker. So Matthew 12 verse 30 says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And that is not not the only verse. You know, there's also where Jesus says, you know, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. So he says we must be with him. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So he's saying, you with him, and he's calling you to be with him. There's also another scripture where he says, like, pick up your cross daily and follow me. He doesn't say be anti-brokenness and, like, campaigns of everything we are against. Yes, there's a place for that, and, in fact, a very important place. For instance, I'm not sure with the stance here in Namibia, but in South Africa there are a lot of lawsuits going on as we're speaking now to bring very extremely broken things into the family. They're trying to take freedom of religion, for instance, out of South Africa. So yes, we are against that. And for instance, 4SA is the one, and Cause for Justice, where Christians are fighting advocates and lawyers so that all of South Africa can still worship Jesus and not go to jail for it. So yes, we are against those things, but God calls us to be for him. And not just to be for Jesus and with him. Let's look at what the word says also in Deuteronomy 6:24. It says, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day." So the New American Standard actually says, instead of preserve, it says, so that we might survive. It actually says, fear the Lord so that you will survive. So sometimes when I'm struggling to survive or struggling to cope with certain things, and it feels like 100 things are wrong, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I ask myself, Mariette, if I'm in fear of God right now, will these 20 things be an issue? If I'm in awe of how big God is, if I'm in awe of how good he is, if I am in awe of his sovereignty, will I struggle with intimidation or anxiety or fear? So sometimes it looks like there's 20 challenges, and how can we? We've only got two hands. How will we, kill those 20 fires and things? But oftentimes I find in my own life, when the Holy Spirit has asked me, Mariette, are you still in fear and absolute awe of God? And I realize, sure, I've let that slip. I'm not choosing to worship him. I'm not choosing to say, Lord, I worship you above this circumstance. Because you guys, when we come here on a Sunday, it's different. We're together. It's exciting. It's lekker music. It is lekker. And that's good. God made music. Hallelujah. And he loves music because he's the creator of music. And he made it for us to enjoy and to worship him. So that's good. But there's circumstances in mine, your life, where there's not 100 or 10 or 2 people from small group with us, and then we feel intimidated and in fear, and then sometimes you're like, okay, cool, but how can I handle this? I'm really struggling with this situation or with this relationship. And in that place, when we start saying, God, instead of being intimidated, I'm just going to fear you now because that's my freedom. So in that place, as you start to worship him, you are just declaring how in awe you are of him above the situation. And that's a key that is given us to unlock certain situations that looks challenging. Another one, it says, Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money," but you can also put there, it says two masters. So you cannot serve God and money, or you cannot serve God and something else, anything else. So in other words, we cannot be in fear of God and anything else at the same time. You're either in fear of God and everything else has to submit of you saying, Lord, I'm in awe of who you are. I'm in awe of your greatness. Or the enemy starts saying, yeah, no, I know, Mariette, that's good, but what if this doesn't work out? Shoo, what if this? What if that? And that fear and anxiety comes like, you know, just tapping you on the shoulder. And by the way, mostly the enemy doesn't speak like this. Hey, Mariette, like this is not going to work out. You better lose sleep about it. But that would be luxurious if he spoke like that, because then I could be like, go away in Jesus' name. But now he comes, and in my tone of voice, he'll be like, sure, Mariette, but what if this doesn't work out? And what's going to happen then? And in that relationship, and if the double booking, and if it happens, and financially this, and this, and this, and this. So he comes to speak it to us, and I'm going to be sharing a bit more about that and how discerning between God's voice, our thoughts, and the Holy Spirit's voice on Wednesday night. But I just quickly want to say to you that the enemy doesn't bring fear dancing in a tutu with a board around the neck saying, I'm fear, I'm here to distract you from Jesus. He doesn't do that. Once again, it would be wonderful. Because they'd be like, ugly tutu, leave. But now, he comes in your and my tone of voice, just planting those thoughts that bring anxiety, just planting those thoughts that bring fear. And Jesus said, he overcame all of that on the cross, and he's given us all authority. So now the challenge, like, Satan has overcome at the cross, you guys. When God said it was finished, he meant it was completely finished. So now there's the struggle for us to go, yes, will I submit to fear or to the Holy Spirit, the one that rose Jesus from the dead in this situation, in my life. So God is calling us to not be in awe, in fear of brokenness, of sin, of intimidation. He's saying, no, I'm calling you to be in awe, in fear of me, of who I am. And the whole time there's this battle for our hearts to turn away from fearing God to fearing brokenness, to say, you know, you see something, you're, oh, flip, that's scary, like, how could that happen? But I mean, God is so good. I don't know who of you have maybe not yet heard the testimony of Yaku and them driving in the week, and then God miraculously kept his hand on their bucky and their lives because the trailer turned around, it flipped around, and none of them got hurt because God is on them. So now we can say, sure, there's really this battle because the word says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life in abundance. So now we can be in fear saying, but if we love Jesus, like, how can the enemy, like, come and bring a car on the wrong side of the road and swerve out and it starts throwing? And or we can say, look at you, God. The enemy couldn't touch us. And we've got these cool pictures and testimonies of something supernatural that happened. So our flesh is inclined to brokenness, to wanting to go to that place of fear. But God says, I've made you whole and new. But you're going to have to choose in this journey. Will you partner with what I say about you, about your circumstances? So that's our choice. He's given us authority, and we need to say, listen, this is who I want to partner with. I want to partner with the Holy Spirit instead of partnering with something else, a fear or whatever it could be, intimidation, it could be shame. Fear, intimidation, shame, it's like different tactics, but it's all got the same job, to distract you from being in awe of God. Because when I'm in awe of God, I'm in right standing with him. And from that place, when I meet somebody and they've got a broken toe, if I'm in awe of God, his goodness, he is God the healer, he's so merciful, he's loving. If I'm in awe of what the word says that he wants to, everywhere we go, bring living waters, and I encounter brokenness, then I get excited because I'm like, oh, here's a situation that's not as it is in heaven. Because Jesus said we must pray, and this is our lives. Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth, in this toe, in this relationship, in this attack, in this financial dispute, in this relational straining situation, as it is in heaven. So the whole time the enemy's like, he can't stop you and me from partnering with God and bringing heaven down because he's been overcome at the cross. God's not going to stop us because he's the one like calling us. He's the one that started it. So who's the only one that can hold us back from bringing heaven down? It's us. If we, by accident, submit to distractions. If I submit to shame. Oh, Mariette, how can you turn 35 and not be married? Ooh, da, 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 da. Then I can be like, oh, okay, Satan, I must be ashamed. Let's not do like shows and reach out to people, wada, wada, wada. Or I can listen to the Holy Spirit going, oh, good girl, you're still following me. You haven't compromised. I'm so proud of you. But that's my choice. Do I submit to a Holy Spirit encouraging me, calling me good and faithful? Or do I just submit to a spirit that is just declaring shame and fear and a bunch of whole bunch of stuffies? But you guys, that's my new decision. Who do we submit under? So whether it's shame or fear of the future financially or this or that, fear for health, all of those things, they're different vehicles, but they've got one job. And it's to distract you from submitting and being in awe and in fear of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and submitting to the Holy Spirit, which wants to bring life and life in abundance the whole time, everywhere you go, in you and through you. So yes, we should be against the things that are wrong because Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22, look, water. Actually, I was looking and I found it and I just wanted to share it with you. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, flee from every evil matter. So it's not a suggestion. It's not like a good idea. It's like it's a command. It's a command that if you apply this, it would lead to life. So flee from every evil matter. So if you are watching TV and you're flipping channels, and for a split second, you see something, and you see somebody is being intimate. In other words, lust wants to come and minister to you and then through you further. You don't watch it and think, yes, I think I must maybe not watch this because in my heart, the Holy Spirit wants to make my heart whole and pure, but that's not fleeing. That's saying to this spirit, which is not the Holy Spirit, let me just see like what it tastes like, just like consider thinking a bit with Fleeing is going, whoops, okay, next channel. That's fleeing. Like when you turn a page and you see there's something that will distract you or that will just to turn it immediately. To flee. If you see you're struggling with it, if you're struggling with lust and porn, my people, can I tell you, lust tears families apart. I cannot share with you the information that I received during the last 14 days because it's private. But can I sum it up for you? Lust tears families apart. Because the word says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then God says, but I've come to give you life and life in abundance. And it's not a joke and it's not a small thing. So I want to urge you to say, whether you're a man or a woman, married, unmarried, we need to go and say, Father, lust and all these things wants to tear us away from you. And it's bombarded through the phones and stuff. But guys, if you're struggling with that girl, if you're struggling with women, throw your phone in the toilet. The 2,000 rand that you will lose, it's much better than losing your family and your salvation and going to a place where it is hell because that's what it is. But you guys, we need to start being urgent about the things that is keeping us from God in my life and in my friend's life. Because if I do not encourage my friend to run for Jesus, I am a liar if I say I love her. If I'm not encouraging my friend to run for Jesus, do I love them with a godly love or is it a worldly? Oh, it's nice to sometimes spend time with you. So guys, I want to encourage you guys, and I just say guys, it means people, like guys and girls. I'm running, like I'm jumping scriptures. We're going to get there now again. Okay, so hose pipes, we're going to get to that also. Did you know you're a hose pipe for Jesus? Yes, amen. That man gets it. So guys, as we said, I can be against something by accident and not be busy preaching the gospel. But did you know what else also? Can I my whole life or for a week or my whole life talk a lot about swimming and not swim? Is that possible? Can I read books about swimming and not go swimming? Can I watch movies and like Olympics about swimming, documentaries like swimming? About swimming, everything, the swimming costumes, who's the best swimmers, who's the most inspiring swimmers we've learned from, who is the newest swimmers, they're like new on the scene and making, you know, a splash, and pun intended. So can I watch those things and learn and read books on top swimmers that they've written about their swimming careers and not swim? Yes. So can I talk about the kingdom and by accident, not seek it? Oh, he says. So you guys, I want to encourage you. You were made. I was made. We were made to know God and to seek his face and seek his kingdom. I know that's why we were made, because the word, it says, I'm jumping around too much, but I'm excited and I always want to share like a million things at the same time. But, you know, when he says to us, go away, when we say to him, Lord, Lord, did I not like heal the sick and did I not do pray and then people got like delivered? In other words, it's people that walked in authority, that understood the word for people to get healed, for people to be delivered. And he says, I will say to you in that day, if he didn't know you, go away from you, from me, for I never knew you. So I know from scripture that God created us so he could know us. Yes, when we know him, there's an amazing and beautiful outflow. People will get encouraged and loved by us. People will get healed by us emotionally, physically, spiritually, with deliverance. Yes, but that is the outflow. Jesus didn't die for us to have an outflow. Jesus died so we can be reconciled to the Father and know him and walk in a relationship. So now the thing is, there's this fight the whole time for your and my relationship and the people around you's relationship with God. And God wants to encourage you with his love. And as an outflow, we get to encourage one another to say, how's your relationship with God doing? I love the scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then listen to this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. not neglecting the coming together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the word says, let us consider how to stir up love and good works in one another. So I've got a friend in small group, or it's my neighbor or whoever, and then the Holy, like the word says, consider, think of ways how I can encourage this person to walk in their giftings, to walk in the things that God has called them so that the kingdom of heaven can come. So now I've got a friend, she's newly saved, and she's like, maybe still like completely in some of the things, maybe still in sin because she's still very clueless, but last night she gave her heart to Jesus. Tonight she's in my small group, she's standing at the door, people come in, and some of the people just chat because they've got friends, so they sort it out, and then she is just like, but there's someone here that's alone, so she walks over to them going, hi, how are you, can I make you some tea? So then immediately I've got a gap to go to this girl and say, yo, I love your heart for the people. I love you. I really believe you've got the gift of hospitality, of receiving people. And people, we don't understand how important hospitality is. Because what will it help if somebody comes here and gives people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus, but this person felt so alone, so unnoticed, and the enemy, when they came in through the doors, went, nobody sees you, you can just leave here. Rejection minister saying, you don't fit in here, like nobody even noticed you or greeted you. So now the enemy is like lying, and obviously it's easy to diffuse those lies. We just walk over to them and go, hi, nice to meet you, or if they look like maybe of a bit of an extrovert, even give them a hug, but don't freak them out because the introvert, that's potentially not going to bless them. But even if you get it wrong, but your heart was to seek kingdom, God will still use it, and maybe it will become like a personal joke forever. So now the thing is, we can love this person and then diffuse those lies of the enemy just by loving them and receiving them, being hospitable. And next Sunday, they get saved when the evangelist comes. But will it help if next Sunday they rather just listen to the lies because they didn't see anything else, and the evangelist comes, gives an altar call, and they're not here? So you guys, each part of the body, each one of our giftings is as important as the other. Like you can go like, ah, your nose is just the pointy thing in the middle of your face. But let's say a fire breaks out and I cannot smell, there's a fire in the house and I cannot save my family in time. So my feet are healthy, I can run, but it was too late. Was a nose less important in that situation? No, because different timings, different functions. And God has giftings on each one of you. Each one of you sitting here, we've got certain gifts, and that is going to be part. Through that, the Holy Spirit is going to save lives from an eternal fire. And God has got this desire and want to, through you, save lives. That's what the word says, that Jesus came so that all man can be saved. And he works through this body. This broken body that's not perfect, but she surrendered, saying, Jesus, I want to be your bride. Come and make me whole and use me. So I want to encourage you in small groups, in church, like when you've got, you know, coffee dates, chat to each other about the kingdom. Share new revelations. Share the dreams you prophetic people. Share it with one another, because God's going to give you interpretation through the word, or maybe through a friend. Like, we need to talk about it. But there's also a place where, if we want, we can start helping each other, keeping each other accountable, saying, but listen, you said you wanted to do prayer marches. God has been speaking to you about it. How's it going with that? Oh, I just sort of forgot. Okay, but friend, when are you going to do it? Can I come along? So now you're considering how this, you're trying to help this person to obey the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we think accountability is, tell me your sins. Okay, but then you're just a bit like in awe of, what's the opposite of Jesus? Like brokenness. Eh? So let's not be in awe of that. Yes, if a sin is keeping you from Jesus, let's encourage one another to say no to the things that are keeping you from Jesus, and yes to the things that will push you to Jesus. But more than that, we are not called to give a long list every Sunday of everything we mustn't do, because then we will never do the things that we are called for. So whether it's a Sunday or a coffee date, we need to encourage one another to say, keep on running the race, instead of saying just like, oh, you trapping skief still. No, I saw you. Yes, okay, but this person is like almost giving up because they're hopeless. So right now, instead of accusing them from things, like, don't you just want to run next to them? Because actually they just need somebody, because they're almost out of the race, and you want to come tell them what they struggle with. But right now they're struggling with a voice that's telling them, you don't fit into this community. So for me, in that place, when they are the whole time struggling with whether they're good enough to be part of Shofar Swakob, like the evening service or not, I can either come and go, listen, my girl, this short dress, no, we are not here to lead people astray. You can't wear this to church. Or I can be like, Holy Spirit, obviously she's wearing that because she still believes the lies of the world that says if a man can desire you sexually, then you'll be worth something. That's a lie of Satan because he has to lie because his name is the father of lies. Or I can say like, okay, my girl, can I just say, I love it when I see you at church. So good to see you. See you next week. Was maybe 4 seconds of your life, but in that moment, the Holy Spirit wanted and desired through you to speak love and inclusion and encouragement, and you don't know if it's the one thing, the one sentence that God just used to keep her in the race of eternity, saying yes to Jesus when she was going through a wobbly time, because when you're in a vulnerable time, small words of encouragement mean a lot. I was recently like at a very bad place, and then people would message me with encouragement, like, Mary, thinking of you, praying for you this week, where previously when it's going around, I'd be like, oh, sweet, thank you, bless you. I was in a very wobbly place, and I would burst out in tears for messages like that, going, thank you, God bless you, I don't know what it means, am I like, thank you. But I would be like, your God, how many times are people around us, and we're not aware, but they're so vulnerable, and we don't realize, we underestimate the power of one sentence of love and encouragement that what God wants to give through you and me to that person. So let's chat to, so now we've spoken about what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't be so in awe and intimidated by brokenness that we forget that heaven wanted to come down and bring healing or encouragement here. Let's speak about what we must do. So let's look at some scriptures. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, it's a very familiar scripture. Matthew 28. This one is the same as that, isn't it? Yeah. Matthew 28. It's coming. Turn to the person next to you so long and say, God wants to save lives through you. Matthew 28, verse 18. Let's read together. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So you guys, if you're not sure what to do, you can always go to the scripture. And here it says we must make disciples. We must baptize people. We must teach God the things of the word that God has been breaking open and that you're seeking and that you are wanting to learn about. Like, this is what we should do. And the people around you, they have a desire for God because God made them to know him. So whether they know it or not, that doesn't have an effect on that desire. The people on earth, God made people, God made man, so he could be in relationship with them, so he could know them. The word says Jesus died so all man could be saved. In other words, reconciled in relationship with him. So now the people in my and your life, they were made to know God. So whether they believe it or not doesn't change the fact that they were made to know God. So sometimes we struggle so with intimidation because we forget the person, the colleague, the person you're trusting for, or the person we're going to start trusting God for at our work or at the school or at where we stay. They were made for God. So now we're joining in with the Holy Spirit who's already knocking on their door. When we start knocking in the spirit or in the natural, start loving them, start going to effort. Because if I'm not interested in the person at work, if I'm not interested in how they are doing, why must they say yes when I invite them to a CD launch? If I can't love them, why must they respond? Because God says, by our love. So what's the most basic form of love? For me, with regards to strangers, it boils down to being interested in somebody. So somebody walks in through the door. I don't know their needs, so I can't love on their needs yet. But I can be interested saying, hi, I haven't met you yet. My name is Mariette. And that is being interested. That is loving somebody, noticing them, just acknowledging them, wanting to know what's going on. Because everywhere Jesus went, he met needs. So everywhere we go, Jesus wants to, through us, meet needs. Because he says we were made in his image. And it's not that I'm going to fix the problem. God says he is the fixer. He's the miraculous one. He's asking, will you stand in faith? Will you stand just in the gap? Take his hand and take the person's hand. The little boy didn't multiply bread and fish. He just took it to Jesus. And we can talk about this all the time, but we need to start taking our bread and fish, saying like, Jesus, I'm bringing you my gift. I'm bringing you my talent. I can't make somebody come to church. I can't make somebody come to the CD launch, but I can love them. I can bring my bread and fish to you by loving them, just being interested. But you do something in their heart. I can't do that. Let's look at the scripture is Mark 20, verse 30 to 31. It says, we're still on the topic of what should we do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. When they wanted to know, they spoke to Jesus saying, but what's the most important? And he said, it's to love God with everything you have, and to love the people around you, to love your neighbor as yourself. And quickly on that topic, if you struggle to love yourself, you're going to struggle to love your neighbor. So it's really important if you're sitting here tonight and you realize you sometimes struggle to accept or to enjoy or to love yourself, it's important that you go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I struggle to love what you love. Lord, I repent for not loving what you love. Please, would you come make me whole? Because out of that place of wholeness, out of a place of relationship, the outflow will be to love people. But if I'm listening to rejection the whole time about myself, it's going to be difficult for me to take my friend's hand saying, no, don't listen to that rejection. You are so precious and loved. Because it says there, we must love as we love ourselves. But if we're struggling because there's still brokenness in our heart, that's just something that keeps us from the fullness of God. And the answer is, it's already been done. The wholeness for your heart, that price has been paid. It's just for us to go and say, here I am, God. I struggle to love and enjoy myself. Would you come and heal my heart so I can enjoy and love myself, so I can enjoy and love people? Sometimes when I'm frustrated and I struggle to connect with somebody new, I'll just say, Lord, is there something I'm just recognizing in my own heart or life? Why am I struggling? Come make me whole, because I want to love the person as much as I love the person that I connect with easily. Once again, that's my choice. The enemy is here wanting to get us frustrated and irritated with people. The Holy Spirit is here saying, ooh, I want to love through you. Ooh, I want to love in you and through you. Come on. The whole time there's this invitation. The whole time we get to choose to who we submit. So practical example, just before that, the next scripture, it says John 13. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for people, if you have love for one another. So in other words, here's an atheist, they don't believe God exists. Now the word says, by this all people, like all people, the atheists included, will know that I'm God's disciple. So if I love people, so if I love people, I'm literally a witness that I belong to God. So I'm being a witness for God when I love people. There's power in love. There's power in love. There's power in love. There's power in love to break chains. You guys, I struggled with hectic depression and rejection, thinking when I was 15 years old on the fourth floor of Battle Gymnasium Rugby Jock School in Paul, if I jump out the window of the fourth floor, will I die or just embarrass myself? And God came to save me and heal me and set me free, because that was Satan lying to me. God came to set me free, but a large part of what he used, apart from the blood of Jesus and the word of God by his Spirit, he used a community that loved me just the way I was. So God wants to, in you and through you, love people to a place of salvation, love people to a place of running out of buildings that are burning, because we've got lives and we are entertaining and making fires in our lives, especially the people in the world even more, not knowing this fire will lead to death of my marriage, it will lead to death and destruction. And we get to be the people to say, can I invite you to a place of safety by loving you? God wants to save people through you. That's why we are here. We are here to know God, and we are here to, out of a place of knowing him, introduce other people to Jesus. Let's look quickly the next, while we move along before we get into the ed section of us being hose pipes. So I just want to give a quick practical example about being excited for God instead of being overwhelmed by brokenness. So the other day somebody said to me, listen, there's somebody that I'm au pairing and this young person is into things that are demonic and into the occult and I don't know what to do. What must I do? Because I know the things they are busy with is going to lead to death. What must I do? So here's the two questions then that I would ask them or you or anybody else. Is this person saved and do they know that your heart is for them? Because if I know Jesus and I know that Yoandri loves me and she comes to me in love and she says, Mariette, these things that you are busy with, it's not of the Lord. It's like just like with icing over it, but inside it is to steal, kill, and destroy. Because she loves me, I'm going to consider what she is saying. And because I'm saved, the Holy Spirit is also going to go, I'm speaking through her to you. So that's the one scenario. But now the other thing is, the second question, if she said to me no, because if she said yes, she's saved, then I'd be like, but go speak to her. But the more we love people, the more there's a platform that we have to speak to them. So the first question, is she saved? If it's yes, okay, are you loving them? Like, start now if you haven't and go speak to them. Now, if she said unsaved, I would say, oh, that's simple. Show them Jesus. So if I don't know the Lord yet and somebody wants to come talk to me about what's right and wrong, but my spirit man has not been born again, I cannot discern between right and wrong, and you want to come and give me a long law according to your conviction, that would not necessarily draw me closer to you or to God. But if you pray for me and you love me and I taste something of the love of Jesus, if I taste something of the light, listen, once the light goes on, nobody has to convince people that before the light was on, there was darkness. So God wants to, in you and through you, be light to people. And as they encounter Jesus through you, as you start praying for them, as you like write down a little scripture without putting Isaiah 2 verse 8, if you know they're a raging atheist, but you just write the words of love over them saying, listen, this is beautiful poetry or writing, which is the truth, like Psalm Daichut's written in poetry style. You write that and because you prayed about it and God said, give them this message. Whether it's a secular song or something singing of love or whatever, you write it down and say, shoo, this is on my heart for you. I just want to give it to you. You don't know if that person, that raging, hurt atheist, lied in their bed last night saying, if there's something, would you say it to me in this day coming? You don't know what the person around you is praying, and you don't have to. All me and you have to do is we go, Holy Spirit, you want to love and save in me and then through me. So I need you to like speak to me, like show me how to love this person. Show me how to encourage this person. Because once that happens a few times in different ways, that young girl is going to be like, how do you know to bring me these messages the days after I ask it into the universe? Oh, I'm so glad you ask. Sir, I've been praying for you and Jesus put you on my heart, the Holy Spirit, and then I write the things and that's how I know to take it to you. And they will know it's the truth because they encountered the love of God through you. They encountered light. So they will start going, wait a minute, there is darkness and light because I saw it. So God wants to show Jesus through us to people. So when we start walking in fear and expectation of God, when we are in fear of Him and in awe of Him, we start walking in expectation. When there's a hectic situation, something gets excited. We're like, Lord, how's the kingdom going to come tonight? You know, like I shared this morning quickly, just again for those of you who weren't there, I was working at an event as an events manager coordinator person last Saturday night, and it was late, and there were five of us serving that served the Lord, just overseeing the set down. A man that comes in, you know, he walks in, and in my heart, I'm just like, Lord, I know you've sent him here so he drank a bit, quite a bit, and he's like, hey, and he's married with kids, and he's like hanging with us, and like, hey, ladies, and I'm like, so if I was under the law of right and wrong, In the old days, before Jesus came, there was a law, and if you did everything right, they said, it's, you know, like, okay, now this is the law. And then Jesus said, the law is not going to work. Like, I'm dying in that place, so that if you follow me, that's how you are righteous. So if I was, by accident, still under the law, I would be like, judge him according to that law, and just say, shoo, like, why did you drink too much? Like, I don't drink too much. Oh, shit, what's wrong with you? Why are you giving us such a long hug? Are you not married with kids? And I would just partner with Satan and accuse him. Because the word says that Satan's the accuser of the brethren. So I could just accuse him. Or if I'm in awe of God and who he is, I could be like, Lord, what do you want to do tonight? Because there's five women of, we were busy with testimonies, Delicante said, and we just started connecting with him because we just wanted to be interested in him. So immediately that the focus shifted into jokes and just hanging out with him. Long story short, I got to share the gospel with that man that night, and he said to me, he's an agnostic, but he appreciates so much that I was telling it to him. So in that moment, instead of being like under the law and being fearful of the brokenness, I could just be excited because I knew God wanted to do something. And I could communicate to him that Jesus loves him, died on the cross for him because he loves him. He wasn't offended at all. He gave me a hug and I could see the sincerity. And the clock's just going there saying, and he was basically saying to me in so many words, I think about these things and I'm an agnostic, but I don't believe more than that yet. So thank you, Jesus, that every situation that we encounter, we can either partner with Satan who wants to accuse, who wants to be under law and judge according to law, or we can say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? I'm so in awe of how big you are and good and able you are. What do you want to do through my life here? There's two types of Christians, the one God uses, the one God doesn't use. It's very difficult, but I'm going to try and explain it simply. The type he uses is called a willing Christian, willing Christian, gewillig. And then the one he doesn't use is the unwilling. So God uses the one that says, pick me, God. Pick me. He doesn't use the perfect, then he would use nobody. Because none of us are perfect. He uses the willing and those that are wanting. And even the unwilling, like we hear those testimonies where atheist ministers did to us. So God is really big. So I want to speak just quickly about freedom. The place from ministering to people out of a place of freedom. So like I said earlier, did you know all of us, you and me, all of us, we are hose pipes for Jesus. You're a hose pipe and I'm a hose pipe for Jesus. So why do I say this? Because we are the receivers and the givers of living waters. It's what scripture says. It's not up there, so you don't have to look for it. John 7, 37 to 39, New King James Version. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not given yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So that was before the Holy Spirit came, but now the Holy Spirit came. So each one of us that says yes to the Holy Spirit, that says yes to the truth of the word, we will be hose pipes, and out of us there will be water gushing out. Let's look at John 4, verse 13. It says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So you guys, we are hose pipes for Jesus, and we are the receivers and givers of living waters. When and where are we that? Everywhere we go, if we want to. So let's say there's a hose pipe outside, it's not plugged into a tap. Is there water going to be running out of it? No. Is it because it's a bad hose pipe? Eh? Is it because it's green? Would it help if it was purple? Would it help if the hose pipe was more expensive? Would it help if the hose pipe was longer? Okay, shorter. Thicker? Thinner. Trendy, like trendy. It had slang and hashtags next to it. No. As soon as a hose pipe gets plugged into water, what comes out of the other side? living water. So you guys, as soon as we say, and I don't care if it's been 100 years that you've been hungry for Jesus, or whether it's been a week lost since you've been hungry and thirsty for Jesus, but as soon as we say, living waters tap, the tap that will never run dry, I want to be plugged into you. No matter what, out of the other end of your life, the outflow will be living waters. Whether the hose pipe thinks it's the best hose pipe in the world or not, the hose pipe was made to carry and bring water. You and I, we were made to everywhere we go, bring living waters, bring encouragement, bring life to people, bring rebuke and correction where we're in relationship or whenever the Holy Spirit tells us to do that. I mean, if somebody is driving down a road and the road is broken and they're going to fall off and die, and I stand next to the road, will I be quiet and say, oh, just fall off? Because what will you think of me if I warn you? What if you reject me when I warn you that you and your family, you're going to be in an accident because the bridge is broken, but what if you reject me? We will not even consider that. We will run into the road and say, listen, you can't see it now, but I come from that way. I didn't see it either. I just saw it like earlier before you. So there's this place where God wants to save people and love people in and through you and me. And there's people in your life I will never be able to reach. And there's people in my life you will never be able to reach. So we pray, we go daily, Lord, let me not be asleep today. Show me the people that's already in my life, that's already hungry for love and encouragement. And then just teach me how to do that. Just teach me. And the Holy Spirit says he's the helper. So just now we're going to pray. We're going to pray for infilling of the Holy Spirit and a few other things. So I just want you all to please stand with me as I just quickly share this last testimony with you. So one is from somebody that lived a while ago, and the one testimony is somebody that's still alive. And let's start with the older person, Daniel. So when they said to Daniel, you better worship something other than Jesus Christ, he said no. But he didn't just say no. He said, you can throw me into the pit. Jesus will save me. But that's not what I'm wanting to tell you. You know what he said after that? But even if he doesn't save me, you can still throw me in, because Jesus was completely worthy of his life. He just said, Jesus, you're worthy of my life. Why did he do that? I don't think he was extremely bold or this or that. I believe that's what true freedom looks like. I believe that he was plugged into living waters. I believe that he saw and he knew the Lord. And from that place of being so in awe of who God is, that he was so free from the earthly things that he could say, you can throw me in. He will save me. But even if he doesn't save me, what I've seen, I'm in awe of him. I fear him. He's so worthy of my life. And that's the place of freedom that God wants to bring us in. So that we are so free from the things of the enemy trying to distract and to bring shame and to bring fear, that all we want to do when there's hectic opportunities or when there's a risky opportunity is to love people, to bring the living waters, because there's a freedom that Jesus Christ, from knowing God, he's brought in our life. Someone else is called Ruan Janse. Van Rensburg. So he played for, is he still playing? Springboks, or maybe not anymore. And for the Lions. And what happened last year is there was a robbery at his home. They tied up his girlfriend and brother, and they put him in his car and they drove. And he was listening to how they were discussing how they would shoot him and then, leave him there and drive off with the car, because obviously he'd seen them now. And when they got out to shoot him in a far and a deserted place, his question to them was, may I please pray for you before you shoot me? And they turned and fled. And he's obviously still alive. He's still alive playing rugby. So I believe there's a freedom. There was a freedom from the earthly things in this man, in this young man's heart, that when the hectic time, he said, like, Lord, you're worthy of my life. I'm not going to stop worshiping you because Satan is coming up against me. I'm not going to stop worshiping you or loving the broken because of, like, Satan's brokenness. I'm not going to be in awe of the brokenness operating in these men with guns. I'm going to be in awe of the love of Jesus that died for them as much as he died for me. Until my last breath, God, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to flow with living waters through me. And then he was saved. And because he asked them, can I pray for you? And they just fled. It was dark. They were far away from a town. They had a gun. They didn't have to flee. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the angels, the same one that ministered to this family when the enemy wants to bring things across our path and God says it's not time. Hallelujah. God wants to in you and through you everywhere you go bring living waters. I was telling you, Andre, earlier that I was at a, so what I try to do, I don't get it always right, but what I try to do is when I encounter people, even if it's briefly, let's say a serving situation, so a waiter, or maybe at the, somebody threw petrol in, or I was at the airport in Johannesburg, and then the lady that checked me, and I just asked her, after she helped me, I just say, thank you so much for helping me, so I just acknowledge them, and I say, is there anything I can pray for you for, anything you need? And she, so I've had lots of different prayer requests and responses. And this one day, the lady said to me, I want to talk to people about God and I don't know how to. I really want to, what if I struggle? So I said, okay, great. Have you heard of the infilling of the Holy Spirit? And she's like, no. I'm like, don't stress, because believers in Acts were walking and Paul got to them and said, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And then they answered, we haven't even heard of that. We only know of water baptism. We only know of John's baptism. And then he laid hands and he prayed for them. And I said to the Acts 1 verse 8 says, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the dynamite power to be his witness. And she's like, yeah, please. And I'm like, can I pray with you? So I quickly, I put my hand across the counter. My eyes are open. They could be closed, but I'm just open because I'm just wanting to for her to be comfortable while there's other people in the queue. And I say, Holy Spirit, would you baptize this darling with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name? Amen. And I say to her, the word explains about the praying in tongues and how it works, but go read it in the word. It's important. Slot into a body, a church where you can be discipled and encouraged to do this. The next flight I take, literally, I ask the lady, hi, thank you so much for helping me, ma'am. Is there any prayer needs that you have that I can pray for? And she says, I'm hungry for more. And she asked me, are you a pastor? I'm like, no, but I'm a child of God, because all hose pipes that are plugged in, at the other end, water comes out, irrespective of your function in the body. So if there's not water coming out, it's because you're not plugged in, or because there's rocks, there's brokenness or unforgiveness. And Jesus paid for that. So just grab a brother or sister's hand tonight and say, Lord, can I remove these things that are keeping the water out? Because God paid for it already. So I say to her, listen, have you heard of the infilling of the Holy Spirit? She's like, because she's a Christian going to church. She's like, no. I'm like, don't feel bad. Believers in Acts were walking. Paul came. He's like, have you heard? They're like, no. And I pray for her for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because she says to me earlier that week, somebody said to her, a stranger walked past her and he walked back saying, I believe you are called to lead people to Jesus. And she said after that, yes, Lord, I'm willing and I'm wanting. I don't know how. And here a random lady comes to her saying, do you have prayer needs? She says, I want to lead people to Jesus. I don't know how. Are you a pastor? How did you know? I said, no, there's a Holy Spirit and he's in everybody. He's in the pastor. He's in the baby of 4 years old that asks, Holy Spirit, come live in me because I want to be water everywhere I go. And I pray with her and I can, you know, encourage her. So everywhere you and I go, there's people that are hungry for Jesus. And we don't have to give them anything we don't have. We just give them the truth of Jesus. So we're taking their hand, we're taking God's hand, we're just placing it there. We're not multiplying bread and fish. We're taking it to God. He does the miracles. We just do it by faith. So I don't heal somebody's knee. The other day when we prayed for a lady's knee, I didn't heal a knee. I prayed and God healed her. So God wants to do that through you. So let's close our eyes. Lord, Holy Spirit God, thank you, Father God, that before there's any outflow, you just want us because you love us, because you want to know us. And that's difficult for our brain to understand that you enjoy us. You enjoy everything about us, God. But Lord, thank you that tonight, Lord, we know your word says that Jesus died so we could be reconciled to you, Father. And from that place, you give us the ministry of reconciling others to you. But firstly, it's just because you want to know us, Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.